Dirty and welcome to Inside Albania with me, Alice Taylor. This week, the President approved the creation of the Anti-Corruption Ministry and its new minister, Adea Pridreni. Former Prime Minister and President Sali Berisha requested a change of security measure from his current house arrest, and electoral reform with the help of the OSCE got underway. We also saw yet more scuffles in Parliament and parliamentary committees, and we had an announcement that the results of the long-awaited census are to be published in June. But this week, I decided to focus on two other stories. The first being a recent report from the Council of Europe's Committee Against Torture on the situation in Albanian prisons. I will also be looking at the results of two recent reports on life satisfaction in Tirana and Albania with the help of two special guests. A Eurostat report published recently found that Albanians are among the least satisfied with life in the whole of Europe. The European average was 7.2 out of 10, while in Albania it was 5.7. It actually places the second lowest in Europe, beaten only by Turkey with 5.6. Now, it found the elderly were the least satisfied at 5.4, while the youth were the most satisfied at 6.3. Those with a lower level of education were also less satisfied, while the more educated were more happy. A second survey published by the European Commission looked at 83 European cities and asked how satisfied citizens were with their lives there, based on criteria such as employment, opportunities, infrastructure, and the environment. 66% of Tirana residents answered positively, well over half, but this still placed Tirana in the bottom 10 of those surveyed, along with Istanbul, Athens and Palermo. It ranked particularly poorly with members of the LGBTI community and families with children. Now, I have a lot of my own views on this, but I wanted to bring two guests to the studio to discuss what's behind these figures. Are these perceptions correct? Is it based in reality? Is it pessimism? Is life really that bad in Albania and Tirana? What will make Albanian people happy? And is the grass greener on the other side? Now, along with Ben, I am joined by Alban Kola, a tour guide and a friend of mine for many years. Welcome to Inside Albania.
Thank you for inviting.
First, I want to start with you, Ben.
Sure.
Now, these figures, people think Tirana is a terrible place to live. They are not happy with their lives in Albania. Do you think this perception is realistic, is true, or do you think there are other influences here which are impacting the result?
Yes, I think the figures are very correct. I was living in Tirana, but I'm growing up in Italy before the 90s, and most of my life I've been in Tirana. It's really my city. I love Tirana. But back to the figures, they are very correct for a thing, because Tirana, before 90s, it has 10 meters for square with 10 meters
green.
Greenery. And back in our time, we have less than 4 statistically. But in reality, I think that is less. This is one. The second is pollution. Tirana has a kind of pollution that you cannot imagine. And the problem is that since months, we do not have a real results of the pollution in Tirana. There are some places, some areas in Tirana that you cannot live from the pollution. There are two point of views for Tirana. There are people with a kind of nostalgia. Mm-hmm. I'm part of this one, that we still have in our mind Tirana, a lot of greenery around, Tirana with spaces and things like that. And the people came after 90. After the 90, this kind of, to say, exode, or I don't know, I cannot get the proper word for that.
Migration.
Emigration, inner emigration at all. They are very used by this vivid Tirana. And they are not sensible for the greenery Tirana. And for this reason, we have a kind of clash in Tirana for this perceive. And this is using from the people that are running the municipality of Tirana, because they said time after time, we need this kind of building. We need the industry of building around. Even, you know, by the statistics that are 50,000 apartments now in Tirana that are empty. Mm-hmm. And still we're building all around. We do not respect the canons of urbanistic in Tirana. And just to say you something in your mind, we are not now concerned the air corridors. Every city you are living and you are coming from abroad, if you are seeing the main cities in the world, you can keep touching, and you are very, very concerned the corridors. Mm-hmm. These corridors gave the people a kind of air, a kind of
access
life,
to fresh air,
a kind of access. This is missing in Tirana. For example, you are living in a place, if you are going just 100 meters there, is horrible by the wind, by the pollution, and that's all. This is one of details, but there are a lot of details. For example, if I add something, the traffic, the horrible traffic, the missing of the public transport and the missing of the rules, because the rules in municipality, in daily life in the city is changing time after time. And this gave to the people a sensation that you are not living well in the city. But still, for me, that I'm living in Tirana, and I'm very proud to say that I'm Tirana guy. I love Tirana. Mm-hmm. But I feel very bad sometimes when I'm seeing some kind of building that crash our memories.
Yes.
I did a documentary about Tirana that is missing. And believe me, you have sensation to begin to cry for Tirana. Mm-hmm.
How it was
it's
before.
Missing. Yeah.
Ben, do you think Tirana is that bad to live in?
Personally, I have seen... First time I came to Tirana to see a game, 1998, because I'm a village boy, the opposite of
a village
Ben.
Girl.
So I've seen since 1993, because I came in and off, and I've seen bad changes. Mm-hmm. So many people find the skyscrapers a good change, but I think because I used to live abroad and I've seen the skyscrapers in London and Paris, they are located normally in a certain area. Mm-hmm. They are good thing to be located in certain area, but in reality of Tirana, it's very, very bad thing. For example, by Opera House, as an example, even communist regime that didn't ask nobody to
they
do something, they respected the buildings. Yeah. So when they built the opera, they went by the plan of the Italians and the plan of Kingzog. So that's one. Secondly, I used to drink coffee at the opera. Now the sun, that corridor that Ben spoke, the sun is blocked by that silly building. And as a visitor, you can enjoy Tirana. And I say to everyone, you should come as a visitor for 1 week. But being a guy that you have lived the past, like Ben, or someone like me who have experienced changes since 1993, or being a parent is very hard. I live 700 meters from the square. Mm-hmm. I cannot move with the kids around, so I had to take the trailer out and put it by hand. I have two roads, Ruga Sarajeve, that links Selvia with New Pazar. You cannot. You don't have a pathway.
Yeah.
Then I have Ruga Dibrus, which is well-known road, but you cannot move with the kids or with a wheelchair if you have someone. Mm-hmm. You cannot move. It's impossible. So a capital city that you cannot move, it's sad. Then it has other good things.
Well, yes, this is what I want to say. You know, I'm from the UK and I've lived in Malta, I've lived in Cyprus, I've travelled a lot for work, and I hear, you know, I share the frustrations. We've been in protests together about buildings being demolished, about the environment, about these issues, and I agree with these. But then when I look at Tirana and I think, okay, I'm a woman, I can walk around anywhere in this city by myself any time of day or night. No one is going to steal my handbag, stab me, drag me into the bushes. It's very unlikely. My kid is safe if I turn my back in a playground for 5 minutes. There are places in cities in the UK and in other parts of Europe where the police do not go.
I know.
You don't have...
I've been robbed in UK.
Yeah, you don't have thousands of homeless people on the streets, people doing heroin in the doorway of a shop. You don't have these areas where the police don't go, where you don't go, unless you live there. You know, places in London, for example, where it takes you an hour and a half to get to the nearest park, or let alone the countryside or the beach. You want 3 hours to go and €20 on a train ticket, you know? And I think I lived in Malta as well, and I was there recently, and they've done lots of construction work recently. And OK, Malta's a country, but it's so small, it's like a big city, about the size of Tirana. And I was saying to Ben before, I was coming home after work and I had like a layer of black, like dust on me from the construction, from the cars, from the pollution, you know? And I think, can you compare? Is it that bad? You know, we're safer in Toronto.
Well, regarding safety, whenever I have guests guiding around Albania, I say that Tirana is the safest, mm-hmm. not just in the region, but in Europe, because mm-hmm. I've experienced being robbed in London during year 2000, during 2002, when I used to work in a nightclub in Earls Court, going home at 2 o'clock. Yeah. So my friends also have been robbed in the park. It's a common thing there.
It happens to everyone.
But that Albania, for the last 15 years, I have to say, is the safest. Mm-hmm. And that's the best thing. The other good thing is that still we have that great tradition that we look foreigners as our guests, mm-hmm. not as a tourist yet, even though the state mentioned the word tourism. I look them as a guest. And that's a good tradition of Albanians to protect our guests. I wish it would have been the same way for Albanians towards Albanians.
I hear this a lot.
You know? But again, I feel proud as an Albanian to have that. Other things in Tirana regarding as a visitor, it's a great, because it's a great opportunity to learn different stories from countries around. It's totally different, our capital, comparing to Podgorica, to Skopje, to Athens, to Rome.
It's unique.
Yeah,
it looks like everywhere else.
It's unique in many ways, and people
good and
enjoy
bad.
That. Yeah, but then if you get into live, then that where it starts the ups and downs, and you start to analyze: is it good or
but
bad?
But you have these problems everywhere. It's yeah. not just Ben. I want to come to you, two Bens, Ben squared, sure. but you know which Ben one sure. I mean. Do you think? So I was looking at these figures. Let's take Tirana as an example. Do you think people's political affiliation, whether they like the government or the mayor or not, may yeah. influence whether they say they like the city or not? Because yeah. Albanians like to politicize yeah, a lot of things.
Yeah,
do you think this is a factor in these results as well?
Yeah, a bit, yeah. A bit, yeah. It's kind of memory from the communism. We're very connecting with one ideology that was ruled at that time. But back in our time is that mostly are perceiving the city with the color of the mayor. And this is a problem. Mm-hmm. But if you are asking in person, specific person, we have a kind of logic and a very sincere perceive, they can say very interesting things about Tirana. They cannot show mm-hmm. the point of view of Mr. Mayor, and they can show their opinion, but these people are rare and rare in Tirana, mm-hmm. and this is our problem now. And something, when we're going in election, the people are represent now in the council of municipality. They do not represent Tirana in general. Mm-hmm. Firstly, their age is, I'm not suspicious about the age, to be honest, but sorry, if you are not living in Tirana, or for example, if you are living in Tirana for 20 years, even 30 years, you cannot judge for Tirana, for the styles, for the urbanistic plans, because urbanistic plans of Tirana were prepared from Austrians at the beginning and after from Italians. After we were assisted by Russian, and after we have Albanian point of view. If you have this in your mind, if you know the old Tirana in your memories, if you have read about that, you can judge well in municipality. But when I'm checking myself, the decision turned on by the council in the municipality, you have a real deluge. And this is the reason that you cannot get real opinion about Tirana. For me, first is that some people are seeing Tirana now like a kind of project, not as the place of their heart. If you have this feeling for Tirana, it's like feeling that the fans have for their teams in soccer. And Tirana, for some people that were living here, who contributed also for Tirana, I believe myself that I did some contribution for Tirana, not too much, because I have to be honest for that. There were people in Tirana that did a lot of things, and the people that are living now do not know nothing about them. I can say that Tirana is very good. It's very good, it's very lovely, but the people that we are choosing to represent our interest do not think with our minds, and this is problems. And the guys that are in the council, that are parts of two parties, they do not...
They don't reflect the average.
They do not reflect the average point of view of people in general in Tirana.
I want to talk about Albania as a whole. So again, the statistics were 44% of people were not satisfied with their life in Albania. And I've followed stories a lot on migration. Lots of people want to leave the country. Are they not satisfied with their life in Albania because they want to leave, they want to go somewhere else? Or is the reason they want to leave because they're not satisfied? This is what I'm trying to understand. Is Albania that bad that they're not happy and they want to leave?
Personally, regarding from the point of view that I've been migrating a lot, last 5 years is not that bad in terms of finding jobs, okay? Except that most of the young generation are not orientated in the right education, in the right sectors. They are not provided with the right training as well. So tourism needs a lot of stuff, but that is also seasonal work. That's another bad thing.
But the season's getting longer. The figures at the moment are showing that people are coming all through the year.
It's not about figures. It's about reality that you touch and you see. It's the first year that the season has been extended, 2023. Yep. Before 2023,
it was
not.
1st of September, everything.
Yeah,
places.
So people like me who rely directly, I don't have a second income except guiding. If we have less than 130 days a year guiding, then what you're going to do the rest of the time? Where are you going to get the money? So that's a big issue, because most of the guides we used to work on outdoors have left Albania. As a result, that they didn't have enough days of work per year to survive. Now there is work, but
no guides.
They have already settled, let's say, in Germany, England, and they are not willing to come back. I had the kids of my brother. I mentioned for British media that I guided them last year. And I had someone also to interview me about migration. And I told them that I felt heartbroken when the kids of my brother told me they were leaving. And they were already working in guest houses like in Thef, in Sotira. So they were already doing well. And one of them had promised me, and he wanted over the message my blessing to let him go, you know. And I had tears in my eyes, because I never thought that people even 20, 21, 20, 22, 20, 23, they would leave Albania. In the other hand, If you live by the coast, if you live in Tirana, if you live in Duros, if you live in Vlora and want to work, there is work.
Yes.
In many fields. But if you live in the villages,
it's a bit more difficult.
It's very, very difficult. And I'm seeing villages every month. I'm touching them. I'm not talking from the perspective or from the point of view of news, but I'm walking around these villages and I see the reality in the eye, and we should say how it is.
Yes.
It's bad that they are leaving, but they are leaving because the state is not providing the right, or is not orientating. Education has gone very low. The new statistics, you know, they are not coming up. They are not coming up because Albania is less than 2 million. Mm-hmm. So based on some sources that we have, Albania is a small village. It's about 1.7 million people. Mm. Can you compare to 2011 when it was 2.8? Mm. So it's more madness if it's 1.7 million mm-hmm. people, the new registered.
This is what we've... It's unconfirmed so far.
Unconfirmed,
but this is what we've
heard. Delaying?
Yes, June, I think they said we're going to get our hands on them. Ben, do you think... Yeah. It's realistic to say that life in the whole of Albania is that bad, and what do Albanians want to be happy?
Sure, sure. Because most of Albania, they like their country, and I'm seeing myself what they are doing abroad when they know you. For example, myself, I'm confronting the foreign Albanians that are living abroad, and they know you, for example, from TV. And they are very open, and they speak to you about their contribute. And you could check to them not just love for Albania, but the need for this energy to canalize to Albania. Mm. And it doesn't exist. The political classes here do not understand this one. And they get off the hopes to them. One thing is that the nepotism in Albania is in the mess that you cannot imagine. Mm-hmm. The second, even in the justice system now, we are seeing that the guys of the people that are off from the betting, they are coming back from their sons and from their offsprings again in the justice system.
Yes.
And the young generation when they are seeing this situation, they cannot believe that something will change. And this is one of the reasons that they choose better to go abroad than to stay in Albania. But believe me, all of them, when they are going abroad, they have the mind just in Tirana. They follow the news. They are very, very sensitive and very active, just checking all the time the news of Albania. It's like a time of the war that they are needing a kind of message from Albania. Please come. We have to do something for our country. But no one is saying this one. I'm afraid because the Serbs now are more and more touching with their offsprings, and they are using a lot their infrastructure to keep their young generation, their country, comparing Albania and Kosovo also. What you can say, what we are saying, what we're doing appeals to the politician is that please stop your idiot conflicts in the parliament.
Like what we saw yesterday.
Yeah, we need to improve our life in Albania. Please do something about pollution. Do something for the transport. Do something for the jobs.
Mm-hmm. And my last question. So we know the problems, pollution, environmental issues, construction, nepotism, disillusionment among the youth. These are all issues. But I will say these are issues in other parts of Europe as well, in rural areas. Even in rural England, we have the youth all migrating to cities and things like this. So these issues are real. And we've come to the conclusion that people are right in their perceptions. But do you really think Tirana and Albania are the worst places in Europe to live?
No.
Because that's what these reports are saying, the worst.
Personally, I never want to leave again Albania. I've made that decision long ago. And even if it gets worse, I don't think it's going to get worse than this. It has the good things, which is
of
nature.
Course, yeah.
Sun.
Good food.
Good food that is hardly to find in Europe. And personally, I'm a big fan of food, of good food.
I struggle when I travel to Western Europe to find decent.
Me too. I don't like fast food. So I like the Albanian kitchen or the Balkan kitchen with the soups and stuff. And in Albania, you still have that. But if we are emptying the villages as they have been emptied, this good food
is gonna disappear.
In 5 years or 10 years, it's going to be over. However, there are people who are coming back to tell the truth, and they are coming back with new ideas, trying to do new things, even though they don't have the right support. They are trying to do it in their own way, in their own energy. Last 30 years, the only thing Albania, or last 20 years from 2004, Albania has done good is roads, actually.
Yes.
They haven't done 100% as they should be and as they are by quality, but at least they have done it. You know, they are there, and Albania is becoming more short.
Like more accessible.
Yeah, more accessible. I think 2024 would be a good year because more new roads will finish, and that would be good for people to move around, for tourism, agriculture. And there are a lot of good things to do in Albania if they let you. To do, but more foreigners, more guests like you, if we have in Albania, and more Albanians who are living abroad, if they come back, things would be like day and night.
Ben and Ben, we could talk about this all day. Thank you very much for your time and your views. This week, the Council of Europe's Anti-Torture Committee report on Albanian prisons was published and slipped largely under the public radar. Albania has one of the highest prison occupation rates in Europe, and for many years, the Council of Europe and other organisations have sounded the alarm and called on Albanian authorities to step up standards in correctional facilities. I am joined today online by Hans Wolf, the Vice President of the European Committee for the Prevention of Torture and Inhuman or Degrading Treatment or Punishment. He's also a Professor of Medicine at the University of Geneva in Switzerland, and he's a doctor. Good afternoon, Hans. Welcome to Inside Albania.
Good afternoon, Alice.
Thank you for making time for us. So I want to start, first of all, for our viewers. Can you give us a bit of background to the recently published report? So why was it commissioned? When was the visit to Albania undertaken? What was the purpose of the report?
So the CPT is the Committee for the Prevention of Torture. It is established in 89, and we visit all countries of the Council of Europe as Albania. For example, Albania was visited already 15 times since the creation of the CPT. So very frequently we come to Albania, and we work on two principles. One is the cooperation. So it is a cooperation with the government of Albania in order to improve the conditions of detention and to prevent degrading and degrading treatment. And we also respect confidentiality. So all our results go to the government of Albania, and then it's up to the government to decide when to publish. And we are very happy that Albania accepted an automatic publication procedure, meaning that all our reports are published immediately and automatically.
Now, you said you come very frequently to Albania. Is that because of the schedule that's sort of set up, or is that an indication of maybe a number of issues here?
It is. So many countries receive frequent visits. We have about 18 to 20 visits each year. And there are some longstanding issues with the Albanian authorities, in particular, for example, there was this special institute for mentally ill prisoners in Kruja. This was now closed down. These are positive developments. There are other issues. In the past, we had many allegations of ill treatment by police, but also there was an improvement now. So it is really moving in the good direction in Albania places of detention.
Now, I can't expect all of the viewers to have read the report in full. So can you give us an overview of what do you think were the most concerning issues this time around, the most pressing issues?
Yeah, the problem is Krusha is now closed. Mm. So the people are now in Leja prison and in Tirana prison hospital. And the conditions, in particular in Leja, are not acceptable. They are problematic. And also, if it comes, if the numbers increase further, we are very concerned by this. And there are plans to build a new special institute. But this needs funding by the EU, and the plan is to open this until 28. But we are in discussions with the government to move this forward. The other thing is, generally, when it comes to mentally ill people, the quality of care was problematic, highly problematic. And this is partially related because there is a lack of psychiatrists all over Albania.
Yes.
And in particular, in the prisons. And further, other problems were still in this big Tirana prison 313. The old building, at the last visit, we were informed that will be undergo a complete refurbishment, and it is still in the appalling bad shape.
What's it like inside? So, I mean, when you say appalling,
it is appalling. For example, there is problematic. There's mold. It is crammed. People are. Mm-hmm. It's overcrowded. People are too many in the cells with 2-3 square meters per person. Wow. They have insufficient hot water, so they build with electric wiring quite dangerous apparel to heat the water. And so on and so on. So it is really highly problematic and needs to be probably reconstructed. We think this is not possible to refurbish this old block, and it needs a new construction. Wow. to get acceptable conditions of detention.
I wanted to ask actually about the situation with basic facilities. I have heard that there is not access to things like drinking water. You know, you can drink the tap water, but it's not advised even at home in Albania. So people are having to have drinking water sent in from outside, that the food is not great. There's issues with being able to launder clothes, heating and cooling. Are these things that you've witnessed as well in the older sort of buildings?
Yeah. Yes. And in particular, for example, we've been to Tepelena prison, which is a prison which there are also plans to replace it or shut it down. And the problems were quite important. This is generally a very run-down prison, state of repair and hygiene, and most cells were in the upper floor quite acceptable, but in the lower floor, unacceptable. Further, the people were cramped. They had very bad hygiene in the shower facilities. The toilets were not partitioned, which is one of our standards, that toilets should be fully partitioned. This was not the case. They were only partially, and so on. So there was mold, there were broken tiles, and this, we think, is not acceptable.
Now, you talked about the situation for prisoners who are being detained sort of under mental health, with mental health issues. But I want to ask about access to other forms of mental health support. So for inmates, can they access therapy, counselling? Can they see a psychiatrist if they want to? Can they get a prescription for an antidepressant, for this sort of things? Are these things in place for prisoners? And how important is this?
They are highly problematic. The access to care is difficult. In some prisons, there is no psychiatrist. Even a psychiatrist, where there is a psychiatrist, comes in some hours per week, which is impossible to screen and to see the people. But when it comes, psychiatric care or care for mentally ill people is not only done by psychiatrists. It could also be done by nurses, trained nurses. And we also discussed with the authorities the need to have a concept and to train, for example, prison guards that they are trained to deal with these people. And it is important to develop activities, therapeutic activities, occupational activities. There could be also psychologists, there could be occupational therapists who help these people to come over the day. What is happening now that these people are generally closed in their room 23 hours a day or even more, are left alone. This we call warehousing and is clearly not appropriate and refers to, could amount to inhuman degrading treatment.
Are there things in place in any of the prisons, to your knowledge? I mean, you mentioned vocational opportunities. Can prisoners do courses? Can they get a job working in the prison? Can they read books? Can they? Is there anything in place to sort of help them better themselves?
There are possibilities for some prisoners, but the proposal or the possibilities also, I think it is not only it is not, let's say, a choice, or the possibilities for the prison management are very limited because they have insufficient working places. Some have these possibilities, but it must be much more. And in particular, people who enter prison in pretrial detention are in a very harsh regime with almost no activities. And further, they also have difficult access to the families because what generally in other countries and what we want to is that the possibility to receive visits, family visits, is granted for everyone. And only if there is a counterindication, if there is a problem security-wise, for example, then the judge could decide to forbid the visits. In Albania, it's the other way around. It is forbidden for everyone, and they have to wait until the judge grants the possibility for visits. And this is one of the things we want to change to improve the access for the outside world.
I wanted to ask as well, I don't know if you were aware, you mentioned overcrowding, and I know the situation, especially in pretrial detention, is very acute. I've heard stories of up to 8 people in a room in pretrial detention, which I can't imagine anything worse, personally. Now, the Albanian government has announced that it will do an amnesty, a prisoner amnesty. It's forthcoming. We're not sure exactly when. Do you think this is going to work? Is this necessary? Is it urgent? And also, what about the process of keeping so many people in prison arrest rather than exploring other ways such as house arrest or being on bail, this sort of matter?
Exactly. So amnesty is one of the tools. We are generally quite critical about this. Mm-hmm. It can help on a very short term to decrease the number of prisoners. Nevertheless, amnesty will never alleviate thoroughly the prison overcrowding. This is what we want, is a holistic strategy, a sustainable reduction in the prison population, and therefore other measures, in particular, as you mentioned, these alternatives for imprisonment should be promoted, and also to see whether in the penal code something could be changed, because countries who manage to reduce significantly the prison population, they also modified the penal code to reduce sentences for different crimes.
Do you think, and I mean, this is my personal view, I think if you provide prisoners, inmates with therapy, counselling, I don't mean sort of with a psychiatrist necessarily, but if you provide them with counselling if they want it, with rehabilitation if they have substance abuse issues, if you provide them with education, vocational courses, opportunities, that would also have an impact on the reoffending rate and the likelihood of people going back to prison.
You're absolutely right. I think this imprisonment has to be seen as quite holistically, because it is linked to what happens in society, and then what happens inside the prison has this impact on reoffending rate. This is very clear. And it's clear that prison conditions add to this, the possibilities of activity, of training inside the prison will affect the possibility to reintegrate society. And if this is not provided, then the risk that people will reoffend, well, is quite high, because in prison you make not the best contacts, and you might even increase the risk of reoffending because you are in a world where criminality is much higher, and you might have the bad contacts. And so imprisonment even increases crime in the country. And
yes,
this all has to be addressed.
Hans, thank you very much for your oversight. And I hope we see some more improvements. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Goodbye.
That's all for this week. We are back next Saturday at 5 o'clock on Euronews Albania. You can also watch us on our YouTube channel, Euronews Albania, plus all the past episodes and across all major podcasting platforms. Until next week, Mira Pafshim.